Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome to Engage. I'm your host, Andy Bush. Remember, you can get the show's podcast not only on Voice America, but also on iTunes. Just type in Engage with Andy Bush to find it. Also remember, you can get my research on andrewbush.com. Well, fresh from spending 9 years as the host of Kudlow Report, Larry Kudlow joins us today on Engage. Now, Larry, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show so many times over the last decade, really. It was an honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, listen, you were one of our stars. You were always a star, and you still are a star, so we wanted you on. By the way, it was actually, you're right, it was 9 years with the Kudlow Report. I did 3 years before that with my pal, Jim Cramer.
Right.
And I guess I'm always saying that because 12 years is a long time, every night, every single night. And for me, I just, you know, kind of ran out of gas, too much pressure. I love doing it, grateful for it, and kind of changed my life in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the stress of the long day leading up to the show at night really started to get to me, and I figured, well, it's time to make a change. So I'm commentating now 2 or 3 times a week. It's a lot of fun.
Right, and that's the good news for the listeners out there. Larry is still, thank goodness, on CNBC, and you still do, you know, special things. I hope you get a chance to interview President Obama at some point, or maybe a new president in the future, but I think that's good news for CNBC.
I will do some interviews. I will.
That's fantastic. Well, let's roll the cameras back a little bit. Let's wind this videotape up, to use an old term, but let's spend some time talking about your media career, because I think it's fascinating and illustrative for many in the markets. How did you land your first job at CNBC?
Well, that's an interesting question. I've been associated with the network for almost the entire time of the network.
Mm-hmm.
But for many years, I was just a commentator. You know, like yourself and many other smart guys. So I knew Neil Cavuto and I knew some other people, and they put me on their shows and got fairly regular gigs, particularly on Fridays with Bill Griffith. Jimmy Rogers and Bill Wolman and I used to go at it, and then we would take the show downstairs. This is the old Fort Lee building.
Right.
And we would tape a weekend show, sort of a McLaughlin report for economics.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Griffith was the host.
Was that America Now?
No, that was way before.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually talking, I think we started this in the mid to late 90s, something.
Ah, okay.
That was the beginning. I had done, you know, down through the years, I was one of the first economists, I think, to ever be on McNeil Lehrer. And then I did CNN with Lou Dobbs' original show way back when. And then for a while, I did a lot of McLaughlin Group stuff. That was also in the late 90s and 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of McLaughlin Group stuff. And I think I did some McLaughlin Group stuff in the mid-90s. Anyway, I can't hardly remember. But I've always been kind of around as a regular irregular.
I see. But so CNBC came to you at some point and said, Larry, we need to have you on a lot more than you are right now. And that brought you to, I believe, the first show that you did for them. I mean, the first show where you were hosting on and off was America Now, right?
Yeah, with Jim Cramer.
Okay.
That happened after the 2000 elections. In fact, we did a special on the elections. That was the first time CNBC had ever done that.
Wow.
And
okay.
Lou Rukeyser was the anchor.
Ah.
And I was, in those days, Lou was on CNBC. And
right.
Bless his soul. And so I was one of the co-anchors or co-moderators or whatever. And Jimmy Cramer was too. And then what happened was in 2001, of course, you know, we had the awful 9/11, and mm-hmm. after that, the United States invaded Afghanistan.
Sure.
And it was at that point, and this is a funny story in a way, Geraldo Rivera, who's an old and good friend of mine, had a 9 p.m. show on CNBC at night, which in those days, the nighttime was owned by NBC News. And it was you know, Geraldo's more liberal, but it was a good show, and it had the best ratings in the network. So Geraldo leaves. He breaks his contract. He up and leaves and goes to Afghanistan to cover it as a war correspondent. And so CNBC had an hour and didn't know what to do with it, and they asked Jim Cramer and me to fill it. And that was the genesis of what was first called America Now and then became Kudlow and Cramer.
Oh, my gosh. So you came in after Geraldo Rivera left. That's awesome. I mean, what a great group to fill his spot.
Right. We had 4 days' notice, as I recall. I remember I got a call from NBC News head on a Thursday who told me we were going to start Monday. And, you know, there's a big difference between being a commentator and being an anchor. Anchor has a lot of skills. You got to deal with the teleprompter, you got an earpiece, and the producers are shouting at you, and you got to be on time and all the rest of it. So Jimmy and I didn't really have any experience. And I must say it was very funny. I mean, we had some real bloopers. Sometimes there'd be dead. Something would go wrong, and there'd be dead airspace, and then we'd start looking at each other and talking or yelling or something. So we did the best we could. It actually worked out pretty well. It was a fairly popular show.
I can't believe it. Audience, listeners of the Engage, I find it very difficult to believe that there was any dead space between Jim Cramer and Larry Kudlow ever on that show.
When things would go wrong, as they do in live TV, whether the teleprompter breaks or a guest doesn't show up or something, eventually, you know, both of us learn how to handle that. you just plow through. But we really didn't know much in those days and what we should do or whether they were going to cut the segment out. Anyway, it was very funny, but it worked. And he and I were fast friends, and we still are, and we had a lot of fun doing it for 3 years.
Yeah, it was an amazing show. So many people still recall a lot of the segments that they had on there. But then eventually Jim left to do his own thing, and you eventually worked around to just having the Kudlow Report.
Yeah, we kind of split it up. Jimmy wanted to do micro stock market stuff, and my take was more macro on the economy and politics. So we essentially split it up, and he did his alone, and I did mine alone. In those days, it was called Kudlow and Company.
Right.
And let's see, I did that for 4 years, I think 4 years. And then after the meltdown of 2008, we renamed the show the Kudlow Report, and I did that for 5 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always like to ask this question when people come on the show and talk about their careers. As you look back in your media career, did you have, and I know this is going to sound funny, but did you have any mentors that helped guide you through that world?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Or were there people that you looked up to that you emulated, that
right,
you kind of...
I can tell you this. I mean, I was encouraged at different points by a lot of people. One of them was the veteran local news guy here in New York, Chuck Scarborough, who was terrific to me and sometimes gave me helpful hints. Other people that helped, I think my work on the McLaughlin Group was very helpful, and I think my work on McNeil Lehrer was very helpful. You're sort of not knowing, I mean, as a full-time anchor, this was a career change for me. I was not trained. Some people were trained, or some people worked their way up from being a reporter to an anchor. Jimmy and I didn't, and I didn't. And you just had encouragements. Lou Rukeyser was a great encouragement to me. Other people, too, would come up to me and say, you can do this. You can do this. You absolutely can do it. We watched you. And I must say, in terms of examples, one guy who is a friend of mine that I've always kind of quasi-modeled after was Fox News' Britt Hume, who I think was a fabulous anchor for many, many, many years. He was an ABC White House reporter, and then he moved over to Fox News when that thing started. And I've always liked Britt's style and his even-handedness, and that's something that I've tried to emulate. I mean, I don't hide my personal opinions. I get them out there. But when I'm interviewing people, or if, let's say we have a debate, let's say you're on and I got somebody on the other side who's more of a liberal guy, I want you both to get your point of view across. And it's my job to ask questions, but it's not my job to shut you up. It's my job to get you to put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a skill to that, and it took me a few years to learn that skill, but I think I did. And I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the interviews, the one-on-one interviews, the same way. It was great, great stuff.
You know, and that's a really great point, because too often when you have people who interview others on either radio or television, they come across very aggressive, and they're trying to make a point instead of allowing the other person to make their points and getting out of them really the information that the audience really needs to have. It you may disagree with them, but at least, you know, have them express their views. That's something that I've always enjoyed when you talk to Jared Bernstein, and when Jared Bernstein's been on my show, it's the same thing. Jared's a smart guy. I don't agree with his views, but I really like to hear them so I can make better decisions myself, and so can the audience.
Yeah, no, that was always Jared Bernstein. Of course, Robert Reich.
Right.
We discovered Austin Goolsbee way before the Obama campaign, and others who were left of center or liberal center. And you're right, Andy. I think the trick for an interviewer is not to talk over them or run roughshod over them. The trick is to get their point of view across. Now, the second trick is you can disagree with them. I can disagree, and I would tell Bob Reich how much I disagree. But then I got to let him respond. That's very important. And sometimes with conservative friends on the show, I don't always agree with the logic. I might agree with the outcome, but not necessarily the logic. And I would kind of, you know, prod them a little bit to make a better argument. And those are skills that I think you can only learn on the job. I really do, and I know that's how I did it.
That's interesting. Well, CNBC is not the only media that you do, and I wanted to ask you, you started doing a radio show way back in 2006 for WABC called The Larry Kudlow Show. How did that come about? Because it's a wonderful extension of what you do for CNBC On Air, but it's a different animal, isn't it?
It is a different animal, and by the way, I absolutely love doing that show, and we started that, I guess it was 2006. I thought it was maybe earlier, but I could be wrong. In any case, that played only in New York on WABC.
Right.
But eventually, after a couple of years, the national syndicators came to me, and we started running it nationwide. And I'm very proud of that, because we started with 40 or 50 stations, and we've now built it up to 150 stations.
Oh, my goodness.
We're in every major market.
Wow.
In the USA. Now, that started, I was a part-timer. A wonderful stockbroker, financial planner named Bob Brinker had a very good weekend show about financial stuff, principally. He didn't do all that much on politics. It was straight financial. He himself had a very good reputation. And there was I guess Bob started taking more vacation time. Anyway, ABC Radio came to me and said, would you pinch hit for Bob Brinker when he's off? And it was, I think, 3 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday. And I said, yes, I would. And that was about the time that Jimmy and I started Kudlow and Kramer. It's right around that time.
Okay.
So anyway, I sort of learned it by just doing the Brinker show. And Brinker was fine. And I used to say, you know, if I put my views out, this is my opinion, not Mr. Brinker's opinion. And I got notes from him, you know, thanking me for keeping the show intact. And I've actually never met him, but he has a great reputation. So that's what led to my own show on Saturday mornings.
That's amazing. You know, it's like the guy getting injured, right, for the baseball team, and then somebody filling in and all of a sudden taking his role.
Now, he still has. He's still broadcasting, as far as I know. He's still broadcasting. But it was an opportunity. I mean, so much of my career, Andy, has been sort of fortuitous circumstance. It's almost like God was pushing me in a certain direction. I mean, truthfully, as a full-time broadcaster in television and radio, I mean, that's the job I've had now for over a dozen years.
Right.
I never saw it coming. I always saw myself as a commentator, but principally as an economist, and a financial market guy who, yes, I have political experience because I worked for Reagan.
Right.
But that, I saw myself that way. And the full-time broadcast stuff, it just came. And I don't even know. At some point, I had switched professions. I didn't really see it coming.
And you just discovered, all of a sudden you're sitting there one day, you go, you know, I'm really a broadcaster.
Yeah. I mean, people ask you what you do.
Right.
I remember in the early days, I would say, I'm an economist. But I wasn't working for anybody. And eventually I said, you know, I'm a broadcaster for CNBC. It's very funny.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and I got to say, with God's grace, Andy, all this came, you know, after my crash and burn over alcohol and drugs. It was really, all of it came later. And, you know, again, with God's grace, I was in position to take advantage of these opportunities, you know, because I was getting healthier. And that was a huge part of the story. I think if I had not recovered and had not gone through what I went through, I would never have had this second career, never.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing about life. You know, people are so much more interesting and so much more humble and agreeable and wonderful to be around after they've had a few ups and downs in their lives, because
right.
they understand what that's all about. You know, and I think that's what's so great about you, Larry, and that's why it's so fun to talk to you, because you have that perspective. You know what it's like to have fallen down that rabbit hole and then to claw your way back up and really recreate yourself as a broadcaster, and that's just really exciting. That gives hope to a lot of people out there.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
All right, well, let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll ask Larry about politics, the economy, and the markets.
Good.
You're listening to Engage.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Today, enterprise technology is both strategic and global. Each week on CIO Talk Radio, IT thought leaders from around the world share their experiences with listeners as they discuss with Sunjog All how they are trimming costs and partnering with business to innovate and help IT become more competitive. This means better care for customers and improves the corporate bottom line. If you want to keep up with IT thought leadership, listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjog All every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.